This podcast contains the personal stories, opinions, and experiences of its speakers rather than those of Breast Cancer Now. I've just finished speaking to Faye and Rebecca, two of the models from the show by Breast Cancer Now. I met them both a month ago when I went to watch the show. It was absolutely incredible, emotional, seeing all these women and men overcoming something so huge as breast cancer to then go out on a runway in front of lots of people. It was as if during the show for that day, everything else was forgotten about and suspended. And I think all of those things also came across in this conversation today. So the power of community, the power of friendship between Rebecca and Faye, which, you know, they've met through something as difficult as breast cancer, but they've become good friends and they've helped each other to get through the various challenges they've been through. They also both brought across the real feeling of hope, feeling hopeful about their future, feeling hopeful about returning to normal lives or going on to live their lives after breast cancer. You will also get to hear our backstage interviews from the day of the show. And if anyone is interested after listening to this episode in applying for the 2026 show, then you can find out the details about that at the end of the episode. So here's our chat with Faye and Rebecca. Today's episode is all about the show, Breast Cancer Now's annual event featuring 23 women and men all affected by breast cancer. It's an empowering and emotional event that's made even more poignant by the fact that all the models are either living with or beyond breast cancer. I went behind the scenes to meet some of the models before and after the show to find out what it meant to them to be modelling on the catwalk after all they've been through. I also spoke to the host, Lisa Snowden, and Breast Cancer Now's CEO, Claire Rowney, to find out a bit more about the show. Later in the episode, you'll hear some of these backstage conversations, but first, we're going to sit down with Faye and Rebecca, two models from the 2025 show who are both rebuilding their lives after breast cancer. Faye and Rebecca, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you
for having us.
So Rebecca, let's start with your story. You were diagnosed with breast cancer just over a year ago in May 2024 when you were 48.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about your diagnosis?
So I found a lump just randomly whilst I was asleep and woke up and had several tests. It was supposed to just be a mammogram and a scan, and then it ended up being a lot more than that. I remember getting my diagnosis and my husband was there and my two best friends. And then they said it was breast cancer, stage two. And the first thing I said was, are you going to die? Am I going to die, should I say? He did confirm that just take out the lump and then everything will be fine. So the plan was just to kind of have a mastectomy and then just go on some tablets and then... he was hoping that I would be fine after that, but it didn't quite go that way. But that was the initial plan.
So what happened, if you can tell us a little bit about the treatment and the surgery that you did end up having?
Sure. So I had the mastectomy. So it was on my left side. Had a mastectomy and some lymph nodes removed and an immediate reconstruction. So that all went well. And that was initially just the plan. And then a couple months later, when I went back for my review, I was told... the lump was much bigger than they thought, so they would need to, you know, put me for extensive treatment. So I had chemotherapy for 4.5 months, and then I also had 15 bouts of radiotherapy along with monthly Zoladex injections to kind of keep me in menopause, because the cancer was estrogen and progesterone fed, so all to do with my hormones. So the idea is to kind of kill those hormones, lower them, just to avoid the risk of the cancer coming back.
So. And how are you now with it all?
I'm doing okay. I'm still on a lot of treatment. I suppose I thought once I had the surgery, mastectomy, you know, and the chemo and the radiotherapy, I just kind of assumed that would be it. But there's a lot more to it. So I'm on the Zoladex injections. I'll be on that for 5 to 10 years. I'm also on letrozole, which is a hormone tablet. And again, that's 5 to 10 years. And then I was on a chemo tablet, abemaciclib, but that's not kind of, my body's not liked that. So the oncologist has taken me off it. And in a couple of weeks, I'll start a new drug called ribociclib. And that's to kind of kill the protein cells that, you know, cause the cancer. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you in a little while. We'll come back to you to talk about those, the treatments that because I know you said your body has not really enjoyed particular treatment. So we'll come back to that in a little bit. Let's go to Faye's story. So Faye, you were diagnosed a little longer ago in 2019 and you were 33. How did you come to be diagnosed with breast cancer?
I found a lump in my breast and went to the GP and was initially told that they didn't think it was anything to worry about and to come back if it got bigger. And 6 weeks later, it had got quite noticeably bigger. So there was a little bit of back and forth. But the GP did then refer me to a breast cancer clinic where I underwent some tests. And again, it wasn't quite straightforward. Again, a few times of coming back. But eventually in October 2019, I was diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer. So, it was a lump that was quite big. So it was classed as stage two.
And what did you have in terms of treatments and surgeries?
So I started off with chemotherapy first before having my surgery. And I opted to take part in an immunotherapy trial at a Barts Hospital in London, which I had absolutely fantastic treatment there. And for me, I knew I was getting sort of the very best treatment that I knew that I could get. And the trial, you needed to fit certain criteria, which I did. So I went into Barts from where I lived in Kent every week and saw the doctor and had chemotherapy, which went on for about 5 months. And then at that point of my treatment, the COVID pandemic had broken out and lockdown came in. So things didn't quite go to the initial plan that we were due to have. My chemo got cut short slightly because all the hospitals were being taken over by COVID treatments and Barts was no longer able to do surgery. So I got moved to a private hospital in London, and I can remember that Boris Johnson had announced the lockdown was coming in on Monday, and on the Friday evening I got a call from this private hospital saying, come in 7 o'clock on Monday, you're going to have your surgery.
Wow.
So rather than having pre-appointments and really knowing much about it or being able to talk about reconstruction, it was a case of just knowing a couple of days before I had to be in. No one could come in with me, of course, and my parents started driving me up to London because I'd been staying with them, and sort of dropping me off at the door and just waving them off with a mask and gloves and a bag, thinking this is the first day of lockdown. London was completely so quiet. There was no one on the streets. It was crazy. And going in and being so fortunate to have my surgery, because actually there was so much uncertainty at that time about how cancer services would be affected, that I felt extremely lucky that my surgeon was able to get me in so quickly. So I had a mastectomy, and then I went on to have radiotherapy. And again, because of the COVID pandemic, rather than having 30 radiotherapy sessions, I just had 5 at a higher dosage. And then after that, I was put on to 6 months of chemotherapy tablets called capecitabine, which then sort of took me up to the beginning of 2021.
And when you mentioned the trial and the immunotherapy, so the chemotherapy you had, was that part of that, or is that... Could you explain what the immunotherapy trial was?
Yes, so the immunotherapy I was having each week alongside the chemotherapy. Okay. It was an extra. It was part of a trial where they were looking at how patients' sort of bodies cope with it and what the outcomes were as well. So it felt quite an honour to be able to take part in something like that and hopefully help with future medical research as well.
So because you had triple negative breast cancer, there aren't loads and loads of ongoing treatments that you can have. So it sounds like they basically just threw the kitchen sink at it during that time when you had all of your treatment.
Yes, they did. And I think because of my age, because I was 33 and otherwise very healthy, I was put on quite high dosages of everything. So along the way, due to various side effects, things had to get reduced and things, which I think happens to most patients depending on how they cope with it. But yeah, I felt really, really lucky to have had such amazing treatment.
And it's now 5 years on. How are you now?
I'm good. I go back for my mammogram every year, go back and see my surgeon every year. I, as part of the trial, I have a follow-up call every 3 months as well with the team at Barts. I think it's not as though you finish treatment and that's it. It's always sort of still there, and a lot of times been mentally trying to get over it and pick up my life again. But health-wise, I'm doing really well.
Fantastic. We'll go back to your individual stories and the treatment you've been having in a moment. But the reason we're here today is to talk about how you both took part in the show by Breast Cancer Now in May. I'll ask you about that in a moment. But first, let's listen to some of those backstage interviews that we did both before and after the show. Shall we have a little listen?
Yes, that'd be lovely.
I'm Faye and I am one of the models taking part in the show by Breast Cancer Now. I applied because I went through breast cancer myself 5 years ago, and I've had such an incredible journey that's been supported by Breast Cancer Now every step of the way, both as a patient, as a fundraiser, and now as a volunteer. So I feel that the charity's done so much for me, and I want to give back to the charity, and I also want to show people that are going through breast cancer that there can be positive life while you're going through treatment or after treatment.
So my name's Rebecca Oladele. I'm a fitness trainer and a breast cancer warrior. It just came up on my feed. You know how these things, the algorithm works. It came up on my feed and I thought I'd apply, and here I am today.
And how are you feeling about going on stage in an hour or so?
I hadn't really thought about it until we did the run through, and then I got all emotional. So it's going to be an emotional day for sure, and seeing family and friends who have supported me on the journey, I know for sure that it's going to be emotional but exciting as well. It means I'm alive, because to be honest, I thought it would be a death sentence and I didn't think I'd get through it. So to be standing here and having the opportunity to walk the catwalk, it means a lot. It means I'm alive and there's still much more that I can do on this planet.
Hi, I'm Pretty and I'm a model on the show today.
And what was it that made you apply for the show?
I watched the show last year, and whilst I was watching, I was actually going through chemo. So it totally inspired me, seeing those women. I just wanted to feel, yeah, special.
And you're looking special, and that is partly thanks to the lovely
Jason. Hi.
And Jason, you're from Estee Lauder.
I am, yeah. I'm part of the pro team, and I've just come here today to support Breast Cancer Now fashion show.
And Breast Cancer Now has a partnership with Estee Lauder, part of which is doing the makeup for the show.
I'm super, super excited. When I got asked, I was like, absolutely. And it's been such a gorgeous day. Everyone's so lovely, and listening to people's stories. It's been, yeah, beautiful.
Hi, my name's Rihanna Henry, and I'm one of GHD's freelance educators.
And you're here to style the model's hair for the show today. What's the partnership between Breast Cancer Now and GHD?
We have a collection that comes out every October, and every year it's a different shade of pink, and donations of those tools go to Breast Cancer Now.
How does it feel for you to be able to give a little bit of confidence to the models when they're going on stage?
They're inspirational, they're incredible people, and I'm just honoured to be able to make them feel their most confident on the runway.
My name is Lisa Snowden, and I am going to be hosting the show by Breast Cancer Now today. These models are incredible. You know, they're living with breast cancer and beyond. Everybody in the show has been affected by breast cancer. So it's a beautiful celebration. It's an uplifting, it's a joyful, humbling, emotional and inspiring event. And I'm lucky enough to be here to host both of the shows today. It really does celebrate the people that take to the catwalk. It gives them a moment of just pure joy and celebration for where they are in their lives, what they've been through. There is nothing else like it. So it's fantastic to be involved.
Hi, I'm Mita, and I am a breast cancer thriver, and I'm actually going to be leading a meditation to help the models calm down and bring our nervous systems back into a bit of stability. I was in the show last year, so I remember how nervous and nerve-wracking it is. They are feeling really nervous, emotions are really high, so I'm hoping I can help in a little way.
My name is Kendra and I am this year's model buddy.
And what does a model buddy do at the show by Breast Cancer Now?
Quite a bit actually, from what I gather, throughout the time prior to today, just offering advice, answering any questions, queries, putting nerves at ease and just being their cheerleaders. I've told them all, just any trigger moments, forget about those and just turn them into glimmer moments. This is a once in a lifetime opportunity, embrace every second of it.
I'm Claire Rowney, I'm the Chief Executive at Breast Cancer Now.
And you joined Breast Cancer Now last year, so this is actually your first show, isn't it?
My first ever show. I'm so excited to see what happens. I've heard so much about it. Everyone at Breast Cancer Now loves it. Everyone tells me it's amazing, and I'm just really excited about experiencing it for myself. Any event that gives us the opportunity to talk about breast cancer, to get more people thinking about checking their breasts, thinking about donating, thinking about getting support if they've got breast cancer is fantastic. And this is just one of those moments where we get to talk about the things that are really important to us, so it's fantastic.
My name is Rebecca Roy and I'm a fashion stylist. And I think this is my fifth show for Breast Cancer Now, so it's been really fun. We go through different themes for the models and we just really enjoy it. It's so important to me. I lost an aunt and my mother's best friend, so everything is personal. But one of the things that we can really bring to this show is to show that fashion can make you feel better. You know, that we're here right now and it's so important to celebrate, you know, that we're alive and that we have something that we believe in.
Jay, you've just walked off the catwalk. How was it for you?
Very empowering. It was amazing. I can't understand why we were so nervous beforehand. Brilliant. Absolutely. I'm high as a kite.
Amy, how was it for you?
It was absolutely like the best energy I've ever felt. I felt alive, but what was great was the connection with other people.
How was it for you, Katie?
Yeah, it was really fun. It was amazing. It was really good atmosphere and yeah, just loads of support around us. So it was really like cheering us on.
Ruben?
It was absolutely incredible, I think. Really pleased to be taking part.
Rebecca, you've just stepped off the stage. How was it?
It was amazing. I just feel on top of the world. I can't believe I've done it.
Your outfits, the first one I was like, oh, I love that outfit. And then the next one, and then the next one, they just kept getting better.
Yeah, I mean, I felt fabulous in all of them. I felt feminine, I felt alive. I just felt so beautiful for the first time in a long time. Yeah.
And if you had to sum up this day in one word, what word would you use?
Oh, alive. Because I really feel alive today, I really do.
You did the most fantastic job. You looked fantastic, you did fantastic. And we'll see you in the studio really soon.
Yes, see you then, I can't wait.
Faye, you've just come off the catwalk. How was it?
It was absolutely amazing. The feeling of walking out here and having such a supportive room of friends and family and supporters of Breast Cancer Now all in one place, cheering their heads off. It was incredibly emotional. I think backstage we were all trying to hold it together and it was a bit like a dominoes effect where like one person started looking teary and we were like, no, don't all cry. But it was emotional in a really positive way because we've all come together because we all massively believe in the work of Breast Cancer Now and we've all gone through the same thing so we understand each other. So an absolutely unbelievable afternoon. It's absolutely brilliant to have this many people here supporting us and it's such an honour to be chosen to take part in the show because I think when I look back at where I was 5 years ago with so much uncertainty, all of the physical turmoil I went through, what it did to my physical appearance, to be standing up here feeling like I do now is just like priceless.
Thank you so much, congratulations, and we'll see you in the studio in a couple of weeks.
Looking forward to it, thank you.
Wow, how did it feel listening back to that?
Oh, God, wow. A tear in my eye.
Yeah.
I think one of my like main memories of the day was, as I said just then, about us all trying to kind of hold the emotions
because we
bonded so much as a group and there's just something so special about the shared experiences that we had. And I could just remember us all stood backstage. One person would start crying in the queue and then we'd all start crying. Yeah. So, but really happy tears of really special memories.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It was just magical, everything about it. The energy of all the models, you know, was fantastic, and all the support and backstage, the dressers and the directors, just everybody. It was just fantastic. It was really good to look back at that. Just made me smile.
Yeah, I was watching you listening to those clips then just with a massive smile on your face. It brings back the emotion, doesn't
it? That's right, yeah.
And Faye looking at you feeling a bit emotional brings back, I was in the audience. So after I interviewed you backstage, I then went and sat in the audience and watched the show.
Yeah.
And it was so emotional as someone who has been through lots of different stages of breast cancer and has never participated in the show, but has watched it and sort of felt the emotion of what those women and men have been through and then what they're sort of overcoming to be on that stage. Mm. You can sort of see people feeling proud of themselves and feeling like they've really overcome something. Did you have that sensation of overcoming?
Yes, definitely. I mean, just being able to walk down the runway was just, I felt like I'd overcome all my fears and, you know, all the insecurities you get as a breast cancer patient. You lose your hair, you lose, you know, obviously you have your boob chopped off and just all sorts of things. So the insecurities were there for me, a lot of them. And walking down the runway, I just felt a million bucks. I felt like I'd overcome all those insecurities. I felt confident and strong and fierce and beautiful. So yeah, definitely.
I think it's sort of one of those moments when you're going through the really tough times of treatment, yes. You know, the times when you're sort of crying in bed on your own or you're feeling horrible and your hair's fallen out. Yeah. You look in the mirror and you don't see yourself. Yeah. It's one of those moments where if you could have looked ahead and seen yourself feeling like that in that moment, it would really have helped you.
It
was one of the real reasons that I wanted to do the show, because I know there'll be people going through those moments now. Mm. And if they can see the 23 of us.
Exactly.
And the fact that, you know, we've all gone through and are going through challenges, but we could have that moment together.
Yeah.
Hopefully that will give people hope.
Mm. I agree with that, yeah.
That reflects something that I've heard you say before, Faye, that I think you wanted to do the show because it helps show that there's life after cancer. Could you explain that a little bit more?
I remember when I was diagnosed and there weren't many people very close to me who'd gone through breast cancer, but quite a few friends said to me, oh, my sister-in-law's gone through it or my friend's gone through it. Would you like me to put you in touch? And at the time, I just wanted all the kind of support and knowledge and experience and people that I could get. So there were a few people that I've actually never met in person, but they became really, I was messaging them every day, especially during the pandemic and things. And because they'd come out the other side and they were saying things like, oh, I'm doing this weekend, this will be you. It might not be you at the moment, but Warm was going to Bruges with her friends and things like that. She goes, you might feel like all that stuff is never going to happen, but it will. You've just got to get through what you're going through now. And so it was kind of wanting to show people that there will be that moment where you can return to normality, and it might be a slightly different normality and you might need to adjust, but you will get there and it won't always be as tough as it is at the hardest moments. That was what I really wanted to show people.
Rebecca, how does it feel to you listening to that? Because you're obviously much earlier on in your story, and you're still going through it in a lot of ways because your treatment is still, you know, sort of in flux.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I only finished chemotherapy at the end of December and I've just finished radiotherapy mid-February. So it's really fresh for me. I'm just coming out of it. My hair's just starting to grow back and, you know, I'm just starting to kind of feel a bit more human now. But it's still fresh because I'm still going through quite a lot of treatment. I had my first mammogram on Tuesday, just gone, since obviously the diagnosis. So that was daunting. I mean, I broke down in the hospital because I just thought, oh, this is where it all started, where I got the diagnosis and everything. I've always wanted to inspire people with my journey, and I've kind of been open and honest about it from the beginning because people don't tend to talk about it enough. And like Faye was saying, she knew quite a few people that went through it. I didn't have that, so I didn't really know anybody and no one was really talking about it. And it wasn't till I started talking about it that people would private message me and say, oh yeah, I'm going through that too, I'm going through that. And your journey is encouraging me to keep going, you know, just from posts I'd write, or I'm going to the gym, or I'm walking, I'm trying to do this. And the fashion show was a big inspiration to a lot of people. So I guess really, yeah, for me, it was kind of to motivate, inspire, and also to find myself again, because like you said, I'm just going through it. I kind of lost myself. So the fashion show kind of just brought the life out of me again, should I say.
And was it a harder decision to do that when you're still in it and it's so raw? You know, did any part of you think maybe I should do this a few years down the line?
So when I applied for the show, I literally just had the surgery. And at that time, I thought that's all I was having. So it was just a matter of, oh, yeah, I can do the show because I'm just going to have the surgery and recover and be on tablets. But when I got the call, I'd just had my first chemo. And she called me and I was like, who is this and what is this about? And I was kind of, you know, really wiped out and almost hesitant. And she was like, are you still interested? I was like, because I was worried about, you know, the hair loss, feeling weak and sick. And so when I applied, that wasn't the initial case. But I just thought, oh, well, I've applied now. Just be bold, be strong and go for it. And I'm glad I did, because I was really hesitant, worrying about whether I could, you know, could even attend because of the chemo and things like that. Yeah. But yeah.
And can I ask you, you mentioned that you didn't have a lot of people when you got your diagnosis, you didn't have a lot of people that you felt you could immediately turn to because you hadn't necessarily had lots of friends or people you know with breast cancer. We've had women on the podcast before who have talked about how in certain communities it is less talked about can be more taboo to talk about breast cancer. Can you talk about how, as a Black woman being diagnosed with breast cancer, has been and has anything to do with your community meant that it, you felt it was less easy to talk about?
Yeah. So for me, I'm a very open book. So I've always talked about things. But I'm from, you know, my ethnic origin is Nigerian West African community. So when I would kind of talk about it, you know, on my social media space, just to say, right, this is what I'm going through, but I'm going to push, I'm going to fight. My mum was horrified. She just thought, how could you? People were calling her, I guess, to say, oh, your daughter's put this on a post. She's saying she's got cancer. My mum was horrified. She said, you don't talk about these things. Why are you doing that? You know, and it was like almost taboo. You just can't talk about it. Don't tell people. No one must know about it. And I remember when my hair fell out and I kind of just showed her, she came to visit and she was like, oh no, put a scarf on. And then I remember her posting so many scarves. She's like, hide it. Don't show anyone. You can't tell anyone you're bald and you can't tell anyone you're going through chemo. Just don't talk about it. So there are a lot of taboos in the African culture, which is unfortunate. And so I'm kind of want to break that mold because people are suffering in silence and there's no need for it. And one of the biggest things, my mother didn't actually want me to go through chemotherapy because she was like, oh no, that's, you can't do that because that's going to ruin your skin. It's going to ruin your hair. It's going to ruin your life. And just kind of like an ignorance. They don't know the facts, the scientific facts. It's just things they hear. And she was really against it and kind of gave my husband a hard time and like, how can you let her do it? And, you know, and I think her seeing my journey now, I think it's educated her a lot more. And it's so important to educate people. And so that's why I speak up about it. And there's been a lot of people within, like, you know, the African community that have contacted, oh, I've got cancer too, but I've not mentioned it, but you're inspiring me. So I think it's something we still need to overcome. But I'm glad that I could positively just talk about it.
Absolutely. And I bet a lot of people out there are really grateful to you because, you know, if another woman out there is diagnosed with breast cancer who is a person of colour and doesn't see someone who looks like them, then they might be in a similar situation where they feel ashamed to talk about it, or they have pressure on someone and telling them not to have chemo or not to talk about it. But they've seen you and they've seen you go up against that massive challenge of your mother saying don't do it. That must have been incredibly hard. How did you actually make that decision to go against what your mother was saying?
I'm quite stubborn. My mum would say that anyway. But, you know, a lot of things they say sometimes, it's just, it's more traditional culture. It's not scientific. It just, and it doesn't always make sense. There's a lot of cultural things that I just think, what the heck are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense, you know. So for me, it was more about, I have four children. I have a husband. I need to fight for them. And that's important. And I'm going to do what's best for us as a family, and research and science. And I had so much faith in my oncologist, the consultants, all the doctors, nurses and everyone around me that it wasn't in question at all for me. So what she said, you know, as much as she's my mother and I respect her, just it wasn't even something that would sway me at all.
And I'm sure in the long run she will thank you for going against it in that sense, because you know that chemo is going to keep you here for longer. Obviously the show is an event where you're on show and it's all about looking amazing, feeling amazing in these beautiful, stylish clothes. How did it feel to have gone through breast cancer and those physical as well as mental challenges, and then to be out there on this runway in front of all these people, showing your body, showing your face?
I think, like, for me, it was such a huge treat, because while I do like looking nice, it's not really something that I ever bothered to put like loads of effort into. But I love it when someone else can do my hair, someone else can do my makeup, someone can look at me and say, this will look good on you and bring back out your best features. And we obviously had the most amazing team of experts behind the scenes at the show. And I just completely felt $1 million. I'm sure like you did as well, like walking out there and being able to kind of see those photos and those videos and then compare them to what things felt and looked like for me 5 years ago. It's just such like an amazing contrast to be able to see. So yes, the all of like the brands and the way that the outfits kind of told a story and had the themes. The whole thing was just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the dressers and the stylists did a great job of the outfits kind of complementing each one's physiques and, you know, bits that you're more confident showing. So it was really nice. I think I don't wear makeup anyway, so to have my makeup done was just heaven. It just felt fantastic. And again, obviously, the past year, I've just been homebound, hospital bed. So to be out and have my hair done, and even though I've just grown, my hair's just growing, so there's not much that needed doing. But to have that done, have my makeup done and people dress me, just felt amazing. It was just a nice change from going to the hospital and having treatment and just being out there and people supporting you and you supporting others that have been through the same journey. So
I think, like, for friends and family as well, like for them to see us, because, you know, like, my mum and dad were there, my sister, my husband, some of my friends, my sister-in-law, and they obviously saw me in a hospital bed, you know, feeling terrible and not feeling and looking like myself. And so they could then see me out there on that catwalk and see sort of how far we've managed to come.
I think it's a great thing for young children and older children as well, for them to see. There were quite a lot of children there in the audience seeing their mum or even their dad participating in it. And I think it's a really great message, isn't it, to show kids that, you know, there can be life after cancer treatment when you see your parent going through something so difficult.
Right. Yeah. My children didn't come, but I showed my daughter the video the next morning and she didn't believe it was me. I said, do I not usually look like that in leggings and a hoodie on the school run?
So you got to work with the stylist, Rebecca Roy, who we just heard from in those interviews. What was the experience like of, what was the process like of working with a stylist?
Oh, for me, I mean, it was quite easy. I was just open to whatever. And it was really quick. She'd put a dress on me. She was like, yeah, that's perfect. I was happy with it. We moved on to the next and then to the next. So for me, I felt like it was within minutes. Like, I loved every outfit. She'd kind of, because we'd had a consultation months before. And, you know, we'd spoken about colours, styles, things we like. And she'd done our measurements and she'd got to know our personality. So just walking in there, she'd nailed it for me. I feel like she'd nailed it. So I got in there and tried the dresses on and they were perfect. And we were done within minutes, really, because every outfit was just, I loved every outfit. And she knew, she understood the assignment and she got it done perfectly. Yeah.
I really wanted to wear stuff that I wouldn't usually wear. I thought this is such a great opportunity to go outside of our comfort zones. Yeah. And she chose this amazing zebra print outfit, which I opened the show in. I was the first one walking out and it was quite a statement. It was this jacket with a big black bow and this kind of really tight pencil dress with leopard skin boots. And I'd get away with it in London probably, but if I walked down the street in that, I'd be everyone staring at me. But I just thought, this is exactly what I wanted, because it was just so, it's like, so zany and so different and such a statement. And that's, to me, what the show was all about. It was kind of bringing out some of your personality in a way that you might not have the confidence to do yourself. And yes, there was a really lovely, for the final walk out, I had this lovely long pink dress, which was one shoulder, and because I've had a mastectomy, I was quite conscious about how will this look. But they managed to find a kind of corsage to put on the dress that then meant I felt comfortable in it. So I think it was really wonderful that they took all of our own, like, concerns and likes and dislikes into consideration.
And you both looked absolutely fabulous, as did everyone on the runway. It was just so gorgeous. And you also had your hair done by the people from GHD and your makeup done by the Estee Lauder people. Rebecca, you said you don't normally wear makeup, so did you have your makeup done that day?
Yeah, I had a full so my makeup is just mascara, that's it, just to kind of brighten my eyes. But I haven't in probably nearly 20 years now wore foundation or anything, apart from like my bodybuilding and stuff, like they do it for you. But it was lovely. She did a full face of makeup. She kind of asked me what I would like. And I said, well, I don't know, because I don't wear makeup. I'm just going to trust the process. You do what you think. And it was, I actually cried when she showed me the mirror and I literally shed tears, because I couldn't believe how beautiful she'd done it. It was so natural. It didn't feel heavy. Mm. And the colours were, I just felt like I looked so beautiful. I was shocked. Aww. I was like, is this really me? Like, she'd done such an amazing job, honestly. I gave her the biggest hug afterwards. Aww. It was really, really nice. I really enjoyed having my makeup done like that.
Faye, how was your experience? What did you have done to your hair?
I had some beach waves put in, which was really lovely. And I think, hair is something that forms such a big part of your cancer journey if you've gone through chemotherapy. And while when I knew I was going to lose my hair, I didn't really think it would affect me that much because at the time all I was focused on was living and getting through the treatment. It is a big part of your identity, and it probably took me 2 to 3 years to look in the mirror again and see myself. So to be able to sit there and have my hair done in such a beautiful way, which I used to try and do it like that when I was at university for nights out, and it never looked that good. But I didn't have lovely GHD straighteners and an expert on hand to do it. So yeah, having my hair done was lovely. And having my makeup done, I also had fake eyelashes put on for the first time, which I'd never worn before. They were a revelation. Oh. I'm definitely going back to fake eyelashes because, they made a huge difference.
Yeah. Fake eyelashes are a life changer. I used to wear them a lot when I was in my 20s, I think. And I never do anymore. But yeah, they're they've really come on as well. They're much more subtle than the ones that I used to wear in my 20s. So yeah, would recommend.
Yeah. And your hair looked lovely on the day. It looks absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. I loved it. I've tried to replicate it since, but
It never works when you try and replicate, does it?
No. I need Cammy, who did my hair on hand in my house every morning at 7 a.m. to do my hair for me.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
It's basically just a big treat of a day out, having your hair and makeup done and getting to wear these gorgeous clothes. Do you, and this is a question to both of you, do you feel that you have lost body confidence over the process of having breast cancer?
I definitely have, and people are always shocked because I train, you know, and I work out, and so people look at me and think, oh, what's the problem? But I guess because, you know, I've always worked out, had a lot of muscle. I just did bodybuilding before I got the diagnosis. So for even though people look at me and think, oh, well, there's nothing to be, you know, insecure about, for me, I look at myself and think, oh my God, you've lost all your muscle, or you've lost this. And, you know, I'm a bit harsh on myself, which I need to be a bit kinder, I would say. But I lost a lot of confidence through this whole process. So I'm still trying to build it now. So even though people look at me, and I do act confident because, you know, you fake it till you make it, I'm that kind of person. So people always think she's confident, but I have lost a lot of confidence, and it's something I'm working on and building up again for sure.
Could you tell us about what being a bodybuilder is? Because I think not people don't necessarily understand what that job is.
Yeah. Well, I only started it in 2023. So I was thinking, oh, I'm going to be turning 50 soon. So it was just something new for me to try. And I'd always seen it around people bodybuilding. And I thought, oh, I could never do this. Even though I was into my fitness, it was more the regime of the diet and all of that. And I thought I couldn't do this. And then just decided to go ahead and just bite the bullet and try it out. And so really what it entails is a lot of structured workouts. So you're focusing on strength. So, you know, heavy lifting, there's a bit of cardio, but it's more about building strength, sculpting your muscles. And the food, it's not about starvation like people think. It's more about focusing on getting your protein in, the carbs for your strength, and then working out just to sculpt. And then you go on stage and you show all the muscle that you have. You're in a little bikini and high heels, and it feels amazing. That was completely out of my comfort zone because you feel like you're naked because it's a tiny bikini and some heels, and you strut on the runway. Show your muscles, flex them, and it's just a nice way to show that you've worked hard. So it is really about your body, which is like a work of art. You've created this masterpiece, and then you go on stage and show it, and the judges will kind of, you know, mark you. And yeah, and I won a few medals. So I did the whole year of bodybuilding, won medals. My first show, I got first place in the Masters figure. Yeah, so that was amazing. And then, yeah, kept going, did a few more shows, went to the World Championships in Seattle in November. So it was an amazing year.
Amazing.
Lots of medals and trophies and experience, and got to meet amazing people. So really good.
So how did it feel then to be, you know, winning medals for your body, basically, and to then be diagnosed with breast cancer?
I did say you must be joking, because it literally, so I finished the year of bodybuilding in the November, and then I got the diagnosis in the May, and I was like, are you kidding me? I'm the fittest, healthiest I've ever been in my life. So to me, I was like, no, you've got this wrong. This can't be true. So it was very shocking for me. And I know nobody's special. Anyone can get it. But at that point, I just felt like I was the fittest and healthiest. I didn't have any symptoms. I wasn't sick or anything at all. And I was preparing for another year of bodybuilding. It's only because I found a lump, you know, just right there. I just put my hands on my chest and felt the lump rock hard. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known at all. I felt strong. I felt healthy, fit. And so it was a big shock for me, a really big shock. It was, yeah. And I was angry for quite a while after that because I just thought, well, what the heck? We can't get healthier than this. Why have I got breast cancer? So.
And you have stepped away from it now because of all the treatment and the effect on your body. But are you hoping to go back to bodybuilding?
I really would. I hope the drugs are kind to me. The drugs are quite intense on the joints, on the body. So I hope that I can kind of, you know, eventually go back to it because I really did enjoy the sport. So I would like to go back to it. But it's early days, so we'll see.
And could you just tell us about that decision that you've had to make regarding the drugs? Because I understand you've really not got on well with one of the drugs that you've been taking.
Yes. So it's abemaciclib. It's a cancer. It's a chemo drug. I was supposed to take it a few months ago. So before I ran the marathon in April and before the show. And I'm glad I didn't because I took it from the day after the show and I was bedbound immediately. So that, the show was on Thursday, took the drug on Friday, decided to start then. And I was bedbound, I was sick, I couldn't get up, I couldn't eat for 5 days. I mean, I lost weight drastically, really quickly. And I kind of kept going with it because I just thought, well, I'm going to have to suck it up. I've avoided going on the drug for a while. And then I saw my oncologist and she looked at me and she was like, no, this isn't, you can't carry on like this because, I'm going to be on it for a few years. It needs to be sustainable and I can't spend the next 3 years in bed sick. So she's taken me off this drug now. It's been nearly 2 weeks since I've been off the drug and I'm about to start a new chemo drug, ribociclib. So that will be in 2 weeks. Hopefully it'll be kinder to me. Hopefully it'll be nicer and I can kind of resume normal life because at the moment I haven't been able to because all the drugs I'm on, my body's still trying to adjust to them all. So I'm kind of at home a lot and just doing what I can when I can.
It must be a really difficult decision to stop taking a drug like that.
Yeah. It was a difficult decision to not go on it when I was told to. But then when I did go on it and it wasn't working for me, my oncologist is really, she's understanding and she's working with me. She wants me to have a good quality of life. As much as you want to kill the cancer, you do want to live as well.
Yeah.
And so she's working with me to find the right drug and the right doses. Again, like Faye mentioned earlier, sometimes they go in with the highest dose. And then if it doesn't work, they'll lower the dose, adjust things. Things can be adjusted. And she's assured me that she'll work with me to find like the best treatment.
Absolutely,
for me.
Yeah. Ribociclib is one of the drugs that I'm on. As is Zoladex and Letrozole.
Yes.
So it sounds like you'll be on the same as me.
Yeah.
And it's actually not a chemotherapy drug. It's sort of like chemo, but it's a targeted drug that I've been on for a couple of years.
Right.
And I'm here and chatting to you today and I have an amazing appetite. So fingers crossed,
good.
It will work really well for you.
That's good.
More chicken breast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
And Faye, just going back to you on the body image.
I think I've changed how I look about my body because I'd had two children within the 3 years before I got diagnosed. And I felt like my body went through so much within the sort of 4 or 5 years growing two children, birthing two children, and just the kind of having like babies and toddlers, the strain that puts on your body. So I feel incredibly proud of my body. And I think I look after it now in a way that I didn't necessarily before. Like before I had children, I'd been really into distance running and I'd get like a sore knee or a sore hip and I'd just think I'd ignore it because I think, but I want to do this marathon or I want to do this half marathon. And when I went through everything I went through, I realised how important it is to want to protect my body. And so I do Pilates every day now because one of my side effects was that I got a really bad back during my treatment. And it took months and months just to be able to finally be able to like sit in a chair comfortably again. And the only, I tried so many things, and the only thing that worked was building up my core strength. And that took a really long time. So I'm really determined to hold on to that now, because I don't want to go back to that discomfort I was in. And I also, in lockdown, because we were told to shield and not even go on a walk for the first 6 months, I jumped on the bandwagon and bought one of the spinning bikes that everyone bought. And I still use that 5 times a week now, because I got really into it. And 5 years on, most people have got them gathering like the clothes and dust in the corner or sold them. And I love it. So for me, I know that's not putting any stress on my joints. And I do a lot of walking. I do my cycling. I do my Pilates. And I just feel really kind of proud and protective over my body. And I don't want to be the one that goes out on a run and limps half of it like I used to.
And we were talking a little bit about Rebecca's career, bodybuilding, being a fitness trainer. You actually made a big career change, didn't you, around the time, was it after your cancer diagnosis?
Yeah, it was. So I'd been a journalist for 10 years before having my children. And initially, I'd always wanted to go into sports. I'd grown up being a huge football fan and really, really wanted that to be my career route. But often things don't take us the way that we think they're going to. And some really great opportunities came up that meant I worked in news, and I was a court reporter. I covered a lot of politics, education, health, and I absolutely loved my job and the sort of amazing people I got to meet and interview, and just didn't end up going down the sports route. And then when I was ill, sometimes it just makes you reevaluate like what you really love and what you want. And I'd always wanted to basically be paid to travel the world watching football. That had been what I'd always said. I grow up, that's what I want to do. I kind of moved into sport. I was lucky, I already had quite a few sort of contacts within the industry from when I'd worked, and I've worked really hard over the last few years to now be working in men's and women's football, doing a bit of radio, a bit of TV, and writing as well. So all the things I hoped I'd do.
Incredible. And we're recording this in June, but by the time it comes out, I think it's going to be July, and you are going to be in Switzerland for the Euros.
I am. I'm very looking forward to hopefully a month in Switzerland. I'm going to be covering England. So however long England are in the tournament, I will be out there with them. So I'm hoping they give me a good kind of 5-6 weeks out there to enjoy some Swiss chocolate and fondue along the way.
And that's the England women's team, isn't it?
That is, yes. Yeah.
Wow. Would you have liked to have been a football player if you could have been, or did you mean that you wanted to be a more of a football journalist?
I actually really wanted to be a football manager.
Oh.
And I can remember going in to see my careers advisor at my all-girls school I was in when I was about 15 and saying, that's the job I want to do. I want to be a football manager. And I think he'd never had anyone come in and say that's what they wanted to do before. So he said to me, why don't you go to the local newspaper and do a week on the sports desk? Because I think that was within his knowledge and contacts. So I went and did that when I was 16. Wow. And obviously that is where I've ended up going. So that conversation brought me here.
Amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. And so going back to the show, the two of you had the chance to meet up and get to know each other as well as the other models in the show. I think you met up before the show took place.
Yes.
And then obviously we're here now meeting up after as well. What has that community been like with the other models in the show?
I think it's been like, especially for our relationship, it's been so important because we had a welcome day where we all got to meet each other and have an initial photo shoot a few months before the show.
Yeah.
And we'd all been chatting as a group beforehand and realised that we live quite close to each other. So we travelled in together.
Yeah.
And you were still in the midst of your treatment then.
Yes.
And we had some like, straight away within about 5 minutes of meeting each other, we were heart to heart, weren't we?
Yes,
sharing
right.
so many
yeah,
things.
Yeah.
And as a whole group, I think we've all got so many different things that we've been able to share, and everyone can just talk about what they want to talk about, can't they?
Yeah, that's right.
But
yeah.
certainly we've met up outside
yes,
of the show
exactly.
too, and we'll continue
yeah,
to
we'll
do
continue
so, won't
to,
we?
Yes, we've built a good friendship that will last forever now. Just from meeting all the models, I've learned that everyone's journey is so different, so different. And but also we're all kind of battling the same kind of things, insecurities and the struggle of living with it. It's never over, like once you've finished a treatment, like, you know, especially for me, who's just kind of going through it, talking to everyone, I've realized 4 or 5 years on, they're still battling, you know, quite a lot of these things through the medication. There's still side effects and all of that. But I've just kind of taken from it all. Everyone's so strong and I just think everyone's amazing because it's a tough battle. Mm-hmm. And just seeing everyone at the show, even with the insecurities, going out there and just walking the catwalk with confidence, it just shows how strong people really are and how resilient we are, you know?
Yeah,
I was just proud of everyone.
I think as well for me, having worked my whole career as a journalist, I've usually been in your seat asking the questions to other people. And it's been the first time that I've shared my story, taking part in some of the interviews I've done and obviously this podcast. And I've interviewed hundreds of people along the way who've shared stories about their own health with me. And I kind of felt like I wanted to give back and be the one sharing mine for once. And it's hard. It's much easier to be asking the questions. Yeah. But it's been very rewarding for me. And I think especially being a few years out of treatment, I want to make sure that every day I kind of seize the moment and I don't forget how lucky I am to still be here.
Yeah.
And being able to talk about it and obviously meet other models, it's a good like reminder to me of how important it is just to make sure you do live every day to the full. I don't want to forget about having cancer. I don't want it to dictate my life. I don't want it to be my identity, but it is a really important part of who I am. Yes. And I do want it to always be there in the back of my thoughts of when problems come up, and actually they're quite trivial, I look back to being in that waiting room, waiting to go in for like the latest test or getting some results back or some really big phone calls that I took that were going to determine my future, and think nothing, no problem that comes That's up right, is going to be as difficult as that one.
Yeah.
I think what you were saying before as well is really, really important. It really is true, they say, a problem shared is a problem halved. And I think when you have breast cancer, finding that community of people and just finding one person to talk to who might be going through something vaguely similar is so different to talking to a friend who has never been through breast cancer and doesn't understand it in the way that someone else who has had it does. So I think, you know, even if the only thing the show gives you is bringing you together with that community, even just that is so important.
Definitely.
And if any of our listeners are considering applying for the show, but they're having some reservations, what would you say to them?
Do it. You've just got to do it, regardless of what stage you're at. I think it would just bring out your confidence, and you build another family that understand the things that you're going through, and they can support you through it. I think that's really important. So just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, don't it's sort of your moment, isn't it, to kind of go out there. And even if it's not like I ever had the dream of walking out on the catwalk as a model, I know some people do. It wasn't necessarily about that element of it for me. It was about supporting Breast Cancer Now, helping to share the message that I could put out to people. And just having one of the most amazing days of my life.
Yeah.
So would you say go for it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
definitely.
So I'd like to finish with the question we're asking everyone on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Breast Cancer Now's vision is that by 2050, everyone diagnosed with breast cancer will not only live, but be supported to live well. What does it mean to each of you to live well?
Live well. So for me to live well is to be able to do the things that I want to do. You know, not having the limitations of, you know, the drugs are making you sick and bedridden. I want to be able to just go out there and live, take every moment, be spontaneous. For me now, I think since the diagnosis, I want to be a bit more spontaneous. I want to live life. I want to laugh more, experience the world, travel. So for me, living well right now is travel the world, experience people, just laugh a lot. You know, I've had so many tears the past year. I just want to laugh lots. Hold on to the people I love, enjoy every moment with them, just make memories. So for me, living is make memories, travel the world, love, eat, laugh, you know. So that's what I want to do.
Where's on your list to go?
So I'm going to the Maldives with my husband in August. So I've done Paris and Portugal this year. August is the Maldives. It's our 24th wedding anniversary and we're going to the Maldives. I'm excited.
Amazing. Congratulations.
So that's where I'm going next. And then I've got Switzerland in September and Atlanta in October.
Fantastic. So have the best time.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I think living well is about taking up all the opportunities that you can, really. I can remember when I was going through treatment and it was during lockdown, and I know even people that weren't going through cancer were feeling like this too, but you were just counting down the days because I couldn't leave the house. Obviously, I had my wonderful children and husband and was in contact with family and friends, but I didn't feel like I was living life to the full like I desperately wanted to back then. So I can kind of contrast that with what life's like today. and just being able to, yeah, travel. Like, I've just been out to Lisbon to cover Arsenal women winning the Champions League final and been down there on the pitch interviewing the players. Those kind of moments, I try to just say yes to every opportunity. And it's like when I saw the advert for the show, well, yeah, why not? I'll throw my hat in the ring. I'll apply. What's the worst that can happen? They say no. So whenever I see something now, I'm much more likely to say, yes, I will do it. And I think with the figure about, you know, by 2050, the aims that Breast Cancer Now has, when I was diagnosed with cancer, I knew far less about it than I do now. And I think so many people hear the word cancer and they think that your whole life's going to change. They think the worst. Mm. And actually, the way that medical research and treatment advancing means that we shouldn't have to think about it like that. So, yeah, just living well, living positively and taking every day the opportunities every day throws at you.
Amazing. And where else is on your travel list, Faye?
Also, I turn 40 at the beginning of next year and we're taking my children to Disneyland, me and my husband. And interestingly, the week that I got diagnosed with breast cancer, we had a Disneyland trip booked for 2 days later. So I'd just been diagnosed with cancer and I said to the breast cancer nurse, like, we're meant to go to Disneyland. And she said, go and enjoy that trip because you'll be getting back next week and your life will be taken over with appointments. So we went to Disneyland in October 2019. And I was in a total daze. I can remember meeting Mickey Mouse and Captain Hook and sort of feeling like it was an out-of-body experience because I just had this news that I hadn't processed. So it's going to be amazing to go back to Disneyland at the beginning of 2026 in such a better frame of mind.
Congratulations on turning 40 and on your amazing wedding anniversary. It sounds like you've both got milestones, you've both got fun things planned in, plenty of ways to live well, which is what we like to hear.
Yes.
I did ask you in the interviews one word to describe how it felt to do the show, but is there a word that comes to mind now for each of you in terms of the experience that you had with the show?
Memorable, I'd say. They're memories that will stick with me forever, and they're moments that I think about every single day when I look back on the show. And we've always got those pictures and those videos and those contacts to look back on.
Rebecca?
For me, I would say liberating. I just think, not just for me, but for everyone. I just feel like everyone came alive and was free to just be themselves. You know, we're all very different, but everyone showed their personality on the catwalk. And I just think it was really liberating for everyone to just get out there, be themselves without any, you know, fear of judgment.
Liberating and memorable.
Yes.
If you'd like to watch the full recording of the show, you can do so by visiting the Breast Cancer Now website or via the link in our show notes. And applications for the show 2026 open up in July 2025. So stay tuned to Breast Cancer Now's social media feeds to find out more. Rebecca and Faye, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Breast Cancer Now podcast, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please also leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and perhaps recommend it to someone you think would find it helpful. The more people we can reach, the more we can get Breast Cancer Now's vital resources to those who need them. You can find support and information on our website, breastcancernow.org, and you can follow Breast Cancer Now on social media at Breast Cancer Now. All the links mentioned in this episode are listed in the show notes in your podcast app. Thank you for listening to the Breast Cancer Now podcast.